Let me just say again a thank you for that wonderful greeting this morning. You almost got me crying, so that's all I'm going to say about it. And we're going to move into what I hope to be a good reflection. So during the first year of a young man's, and sometimes not so young man's, year in the society, that very first year, there are a number of things the Jesuit has to do as part of his formation, and might I say, to even test the vocation a little bit, right? And one of those things is a pilgrimage, where the young man, or in some cases a pair of young men, go off together to an assigned city to spend 5 to 6 weeks in ministry. Now, this is supposed to be a trust in God experience, right? So during my first year in the Society of Jesus, dating back to 1985, which scares me how long ago that was, on a Sunday night, the novices, there were 11 of us. At that point, there were 10 of us. We had lost one at that point. We were invited down to the living room on a Sunday night for a community meeting. And at this meeting, the novice director said to us, "Okay, fellas, now's the time for your pilgrimage." And so they divided us up into pairs and said, "Mike," and my companion was Todd, "Mike and Todd, you guys are going to Akron, Ohio." And then the others were paired off and given to different cities too. One went to Erie, some went to Flint, Michigan. A couple guys went to the West Coast, East Coast, whatever. Anyway, we were given $25 each and told, "Make your way to Akron, see ya in 6 weeks." Now, they didn't force us to hitchhike. They would have given us, they would have purchased a bus ticket to send us to Akron, Ohio. But Todd and I, being the young Jesuits on fire trusting in God, thought, well, if we're going to trust God, let's trust God. So bright and early Monday morning, bags packed, $25 each in our pocket, one of the guys on staff took us out to a truck stop just across the Minnesota-Wisconsin border and dropped us off and said, "Good luck." So we stood at this truck stop, putting our thumbs out. We might have even had a sign, I can't remember. But in 10 minutes' time, no more, truck driver pulls over, "Where are you fellas headed?" We're like, "Well, we're heading to Milwaukee today," because we wanted to stop in Milwaukee and visit second-year novices who were doing their long experience in Milwaukee. So we're just going to Milwaukee on that first day. "Hop in. I can get you there." So off we go. This truck driver driving us to Milwaukee, he's curious. He's like, "Well, what are you guys doing out here?" And we share the story that we're Jesuit novices training to be priests and we're on a pilgrimage, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he gets us to Milwaukee, and it's about dinner time, drinks time, right? We go to St. Patrick's Parish. It's where the second-year novices were hanging out. We had dinner. We spent the night with them. Went to bed. Got up the next morning really on fire. It's like, hey, this hitchhiking thing is pretty easy. Novices take us out to a truck stop south of the airport here. I think it's still there. Yeah. Drop us off. And again, no more than 10 minutes. A guy pulls up in a pickup truck pulling a trailer. Says, "Where are you guys headed?" "Well, we're trying to get to Akron, Ohio." "Well, I can't take you that far, but I can get you on the other side of Chicago." "Great. Hop in. Off we go. Get to the other side of Chicago." He stops in Gary, Indiana, and drops us off. It's about noon, one-ish in the afternoon. And Todd and I are just, like, overwhelmed with confidence. This hitchhiking thing is a piece of cake. We'll be in Akron before dinner time. 1 o'clock comes. 2 o'clock. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and we cannot get a ride. Finally, we're like, "Eez, it's getting late. We better figure out what we're going to do tonight, where we're going to stay." So we go into town, we find a Catholic parish, knock on the rectory door, thinking, Catholic priest is going to love this story. He opens the door, and you can tell he is not at all confident that this is a good thing. And we share with him that we're Jesuit novices, and that might have been our mistake. Because diocesan priests and Jesuits, maybe not always. Anyway, he doesn't want anything to do with us. And we're like, what are we going to do? And it just so happens, about three blocks away from the church was a motel. And I use motel very loosely. It was $10 a night, so you can understand what kind of place this was. But Todd and I have no other options, and we don't have a lot of money, so we get a room for the night. We walk into the room and immediately say, we are not sleeping on that bed. We kind of found ways to kind of get some sleep, slept on the floor, whatever it was. Wake up the next morning saying, okay, yesterday might have just been a blip. We'll get a ride. We'll be in Akron in no time. Turn on the TV. Good Morning America is playing. And this is in April, so spring break time, right? And the news story that comes on Good Morning America is the dangers of hitchhiking, two young co-eds found dead on spring break. I'm like, you have got to turn that television off because I don't need that. We didn't even take a shower in Dale's motel. We get dressed, we go out to the same truck stop that we were at the day before, thinking, okay, this has got to be better. And we were out there by 8 o'clock, I suppose. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, noon, still no ride. And finally, out of nowhere comes this little red small pickup truck driven by a single girl who could be no more than 18, 19 years old. She pulls over. Hey, fellas, where are you going? Beggars can't be choosy at this point, right? So we've got to take... I wanted to slap her. It's like, how dare you, young female by yourself, stopping to pick up two pretty grungy-looking hitchhikers? Your parents would kill you. But we hop in. She takes off. No more than a mile. The road splits. She has to go right. We have to go left. So she stops. And we jump out, and we're in the middle of the interstate. And we go running up the hill, trying to get out of traffic. And when we get up to the top of the hill, a truck has pulled over, and he saw us scrambling, right? So he was waiting for us. He says, hey, fellas, where are you going? Akron, Ohio. He says, hop in, I can get you closer. Hop in, go with him. He gets us to Worcester, Ohio. Worcester's about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from Akron. By the time we get there, it's 5 o'clock, 5:30-ish. And we're thinking, okay, we need to kind of catch our breath, find a place to stay for tonight, and then finish the trip tomorrow. Go to another Catholic parish. Knock on the door. Priest comes out. Can I help you, fellas? We're two young Jesuits. We're on a pilgrimage. We're trying to get to Akron, Ohio. Oh, come on in. Come on in. Love to have you. Oh, by the way, I was just getting ready to do Mass. Would you guys mind sharing your adventure with the people gathered? Because what you're doing is much better than any homily I could give. Like, well, sure, we can do that. So we go, we share with the evening Mass attendees what we're doing, and at the end of Mass, and, 5 o'clock Mass at a parish is usually more older people, right? That's kind of the crowd. And as they were coming up to shake our hands, they were all saying, oh, I've got a grandson your age. I would hate for him to be out there doing what you're doing. Here, please take this. And one after another, they came, shook our hands, said, please be careful. We walked out of there with about $250. Which was awesome. So then the pastor took us up to a hotel, which was right on the interstate. He didn't have place in his rectory for us to stay, but they paid for a hotel room for us. Todd and I had a very comfortable hotel room, not anything like Dale's, and got a good night's sleep, ready to charge out the next morning. And we're only 2 hours away. So we get out the next morning, get out onto the highway, car after car comes by, and it's like, okay, we'll get there. And pretty soon around the corner comes this 1969 era VW Volkswagen van, right? One of those things that on the bumper sticker you expect to see, I love Jesus, right? So that van pulls by, goes by us initially, and I say to Todd, I said, that thing probably wouldn't even make it to Akron, Ohio, because it was sputtering and all that sort of stuff. As soon as I said that, brake lights, pulls over, it's like, okay, let's go. We run up to the van and open the door. And in this van, in the back, were crates and cages filled with goats, rabbits, and I don't know what other kind of farm animals were in these cages. And in the middle of the back seat was this rather menacing-looking black Labrador dog. And I told Todd, you're in the back seat. I jumped into the passenger seat. Todd got the better end of that deal because the driver was this rather, I'd say angry is a good word to describe, sort of, rugged looking, not at all the kind of person you feel real comfortable being in his presence. And he was angry at the world. And it showed in his driving as he was flying down the road 65, 70, 75 miles an hour. Door flies open. Doesn't think anything of it. And when he finally asked what we were doing, I mistakenly told him that we were Jesuits, we were studying to be priests, we're going on this pilgrimage to kind of work with the poor and kind of be of service. He goes, "Well, I'm poor. Why don't you come live with me?" Live? I don't think so. Anyway, long story short, and please pardon this rather lengthy homily because I shared with Deb that this was probably going to take a while. So the chicken man, as I later labeled him, got us to just probably 30 minutes south of Akron, where they were having a flea market, which is why he had these goats, these chickens, and rabbits. He was going to go barter and trade all these sorts of things. And while he's dropping us off, again, looking for food, he takes Todd with him to go in search of a ride, right? So 15 minutes go by, 30 minutes go by, 45 minutes go by. It's an hour, and there's no sign of Todd. And my mind starts going, holy crap, what am I going to do? He's got Todd probably stored away in some barn, hanging by his ankles, and he's torturing him, right? My mind is playing all kinds of crazy tricks on me. And about 15 minutes later, around the corner, come Todd and the chicken man. Chicken man's got a bag of groceries, comes up to us, he says, "Here, you guys, you need to eat lunch, blah, blah, blah." Anyway, feeds us. He goes, "And I found you a ride. This gentleman will take you the rest of the way to Akron." Hop in the car, go up to Akron. We land at Walsh Jesuit in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, which, as fate would have it, later in my life, I became president of Walsh Jesuit High School down the road. But we were landed at Walsh Jesuit. Our plan was not to stay with Jesuits because that's just not challenging enough, right? We were supposed to be with the poor. We were supposed to be serving people. But the Jesuits would have nothing of it. They said, "You guys are staying with us. There's lots of work you can do here at the high school," and so on and so forth. So we spent the next 5 weeks at Walsh Jesuit working with students, doing all sorts of things at the school. Had a great experience. Fell in love with Walsh Jesuit. Head back to St. Paul, Minnesota. And when we get there, obviously we're going to debrief this experience. And as I'm sharing with my novice director these 5 weeks, the six-week journey, I'm sharing all kinds of wonderful things that took place at Walsh Jesuit. How great the people were, how great the students were. Just so filled with kind of the mission and the presence of God was so clearly there for me. He says, "Well, find God anywhere else on this journey?" I'm like, "Not really." He says, "How about that teenage girl who took you 1 mile and got you away from what we later found out the reason we couldn't get a ride was there was lots of violence that takes place at that truck stop, mostly enacted by hitchhikers. So no one's picking us up, but anyway, that teenage girl took you exactly 1 mile, got you where you needed to be. How about the guy who was waiting for you when you got out of that girl's car and got you to Worcester, Ohio? And Mike, how about the chicken man? Was God sort of present to him?" And it hit me like a ton of bricks because my perception of the chicken man while I was in his presence and even after was like, man, this guy is crazy. He could have done all kinds of crazy things to me. And yet, what did he do for me? He gave us a ride. He fed us. He found someone else to give us a ride. He did everything to serve me and what I needed. And I failed to see that. I share that experience because I continue at times. There are times in my life when it's easy to see God's presence, to feel God's presence, to recognize God's presence. But there are also those times when that's difficult, when it's a struggle to see God's presence like the disciples. They didn't see, they didn't recognize Jesus until he was able to share with them Scripture, Eucharist. He could de-blind, if that's a way to phrase it, what was blocking them from seeing his real presence in their lives. As Easter people, the challenge is for us to recognize Christ present each and every day of our lives. The resurrected Christ in our midst. And to boldly, as Pope Leo would encourage us, to boldly proclaim that truth so that we can give witness to those who struggle to see Christ present. We can give them the skills, what they need to recognize Christ alive in their lives. As an Easter people, filled with joy, let's commit ourselves to giving witness to that truth, to make Christ present in our world.